Well, Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson says, convert him or kill him. And let's talk about overcoming social injustice here in America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, there is going to be more controversy surrounding the comments of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson speaking on the Sean Hannity show about the Islamic State, so-called Islamic State, ISIS. He said basically what we're dealing with there, you either have to convert them, which he has little hope in doing, or kill them. Is that the same thing as what ISIS is saying to us? Or is it a totally different perspective? We'll talk about that. Also, an outrageous promo error, which was a promo error from the start, in my humble opinion, from the Sleepy Hollow TV show about to air. I want to revisit issues of social injustice. I want to interact with you and get further feedback, talking about things right here in America. Welcome to the broadcast. Michael Brown, absolutely delighted to be on the air with you. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before we get into the social injustice issue and then come around to the Phil Robertson quote, let me tell you what I was speaking of when I mentioned this promo disaster. There is the Sleepy Hollow book of many years past, which has been made into movies or made into TV shows. I don't know how many times this has been done. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm not familiar with whatever the current TV show is, Sleepy Hollow. But their promo people dubbed September 2nd, quote, National Beheading Day. Yeah. Now, that's yesterday. And of course, yesterday, the horrific, tragic video of the slaughter, the execution, murder in cold blood of American journalist Stephen Sotloff was released by ISIS. And this is around the same time that the Sleepy Hollow announcement goes out. This is what it said, quote, heads will roll as sleepyheads celebrate Headless Day today, September 2nd, on this National Beheading Day. Viewers everywhere can share in the fun as fans prepare for this release of Sleepy Hollow Season 1 on digital HD now and arriving on Blu-ray and DVD September 16th. And Think Jam, the firm behind the promo, sent out an apology email 1 hour later. We apologize for the unfortunate timing of our Sleepy Hollow Headless Day announcement. And then 20th Century Fox released an apology. They recognized and apologized for the promotional announcement. We regret the unfortunate timing of our announcement. Our deepest sympathies go out to the families of all involved. I'm sure they were sincere in their apology. How could they not be? But what kind of society are we living in? What kind of entertainment surrounds us? When put on the best of days, when we're not getting the horrific reports from overseas. Oh, and by the way, had there not been the horror of these beheadings in recent weeks, I would think that would sensitize you for years to come. But oh no, you've got to celebrate. Oh, just harmless fun. National Beheading Day. Listen, this was idiotic on the best of days. This reflected the sick entertainment notions of our society on the best of days. Do you agree with me? 866-34-TRUTH. We come back. I want to share with you some insights. They may be common knowledge for you, but they were helpful to give me a perspective on many obstacles that still must be overcome by Black Americans. I want to share that with you on this Wednesday as we focus on the world, moral, and cultural issues.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the situation in Ferguson, Missouri has quieted down for now. I'm sure we'll see all types of attention on this as things move forward with the whether there'll be issues, a grand jury taking, saying that the policeman that killed Michael Brown, my namesake, should be indicted, and if there's a trial. So these things remain open wounds. And the larger issues of societal injustice and inequality remain. The question is, how do we address them? How do we overcome them? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, you know I haven't been afraid to wade into these issues, both to speak as well as to listen. And I have pointed out what white Americans often don't see. And then I point out what black Americans often don't see. And then I've tried to highlight important truths that we each have to say to each other, especially in Jesus, where we are one, where there is no racial divide in God's sight, even though it often exists in this world. This past Sunday, I spoke at, it was basically an all-black church, and boy, I love the environment. I love the enthusiasm and just the hunger for the word that was there and the love for the Lord that I experienced so many times with my black brothers and sisters worshiping together. It's always a highlight for me, to be honest. And the pastor and I were talking afterwards about certain issues. He himself has earned a doctorate, and he's a professor and a counselor. And we were talking about these issues, and yes, the real problems and obstacles do exist, but how can they be addressed and overcome? We were having this discussion, and it reminded me of something that was posted. I didn't see it on the Line of Fire site, but I did see it on the Ask Dr. Brown site. It was by Brian R., and I'll read this to you, okay? I personally found it helpful in terms of perspective. Now, you're going to say to me, how could you not know this? Well, it's the perspective, all right? So I knew the history, but the way it was framed was useful to me. So I want you to hear this and tell me if you agree with this perspective. He said, Brother Mike, I wrote the following on your Line of Fire blog as well. I'd like your opinion to see if this helps to bring understanding as to the broken mentality that is found in many people. Because my issue has been, don't have the victim mentality, even if you've been the victim, even if someone's taken advantage of you, even if you were born into this world with 2.5 strikes against you. If you have the victim mentality and look for someone else to bail you out, you'll not be an overcomer. That's been my issue. No matter who you are, no matter what the color of your skin is, no matter what your ethnicity is, that is just a way that we have to live. So that has been my issue, encouraging people to not give in to the victim mentality or look to others to fix your situation. Call for justice, yes, but don't personally look to someone else to fix your situation. Otherwise, it's unlikely that it'll be deeply fixed and truly fixed in a lasting way. All right, so Brian says, let me introduce you to a reasonable approach to this victim mentality that is being posited. Slavery was introduced to America in 1619 as a government-sanctioned institution. This lasted until 1865, resulting in 246 years of systematic mental destruction of an entire race. When slavery ended, laws of segregation were instituted, lasting another 100 years, resulting in a total of 346 years of institutionalized suppression, forcing the entire black race into second-class citizenship. Now, if we use a standard of 40 years to measure a generation, this leaves us with about 9 generations of experiencing a terrorized way of life to include lynchings and public humiliation through all venues to include the media and even religious institutions. Right after segregation ended, where blacks were not allowed to vote nor had a right to equal education, we were then introduced to racial profiling, police abuse, unfair housing tactics, and unequal employment rights. As we currently stand, we are only one generation away from this legacy of victimization and dehumanization, of which millions of people still remain who lived through these very acts, of which it stands to reason why so many still feel this way. Whether individual cases be true or not, many are certainly still are. What a sensible person must understand is that it takes time for a whole race of people to be reintroduced into society as equals, knowing only a family line of oppression. After 9 generations of racial discrimination, it is not reasonable to expect this mentality to go away, being only one generation removed. This is not enough time for the scars and mentality of an abused race to be healed. I hope this produces thought and somehow makes sense. And I wrote back to Brian saying, absolutely, absolutely. I personally found that perspective helpful. I'll tell you why. Growing up in New York, born in New York City, first couple of years of school in New York City, then moved to Long Island. In any situation I was in with Black Americans, we were either schoolmates or we were peers in other ways. In my educational setting, that's the way it would have been. So I didn't grow up in an environment where there seemed to be, say, the stinging legacy of what would be found maybe more in the South in America. And Black pastors and leaders that I've worked with have opposed the victim mentality and have really sought to empower people and to help them be overcomers and to say, yeah, we have obstacles that others may not have. And it's not just Black Americans, there are others, but the longest and ugliest history in America is the treatment of African Americans. So those I work with, and then working with African believers in Africa and so on, there just didn't seem to be sympathy for a mentality that said, okay, the government messed my life up. Now the government has to fix my life. And that fueled my fire and then my own outlook, my own biblical mentality, my own point of view on these issues is very plain. Namely, that no matter what comes against you, no matter who has hurt you, no matter what injustices you have suffered, no matter how far someone pushes you down, if you'll honor the Lord and work with him, what people mean for evil, God can turn for greater good. Just telling someone that's suffered through some difficulties recently, I said, as much as you'd rather not go through these difficulties, as much as you would wish that these things didn't exist and that you'd never walk through these things, if you'll walk with the Lord, he's the Redeemer, and everything meant for evil can be used for greater good. That being said, here's my question. First, if you're listening to me, regardless of the color of your skin or ethnic background, does that description sound reasonable to you? The description I just read from Brian, does that sound reasonable to you? Second question, if it is reasonable, if we are still talking about relatively recent history with segregation, which was then built on the terrible history of slavery and the other injustices that Black Americans experienced. That being the case, how can it be overcome? Now, let me throw out one other sensitive issue here, all right? One other sensitive issue to throw out to you. And I'm speaking as well as listening. That's why we're discussing this on talk radio. We may have a bunch of calls and discuss this, or I may just throw these things out for thought today and move on to some other things and then be listening for your responses in other settings. But here's my other question for you. All right? Here's my other question. I don't identify as Republican or Democrat. I identify in that sense as an independent. However, many issues in terms of pro-life, in terms of marriage and family values, in terms of Israel, I am decidedly with the Republican platform and against the Democrat platform in many ways, especially with the first two issues where the Democrats can be radically on the other side of this. Another issue I have with the Democratic Party is while it does reach out to the poor, it's not just Black Americans, some Black Americans, thank God for all the prosperous and successful Black Americans, but there are poor white Americans, there are poor Hispanic Americans, there are poor Americans of every racial and ethnic background. While the Democratic Party reaches out to the poor more effectively than the Republican Party does, unfortunately, many have criticized the Democratic Party policy for this. They have said what they've basically done is enslave people once again with a welfare system that does not encourage hard work, that does not encourage educational excellence, that basically continues to reproduce poverty. That's something I object to, that level of entitlement. Where there's a legitimate need, and the government or the church can help with a legitimate need, let it be done. Where there's something that fosters another kind of slavery, another kind of dependence on the government, and another kind of pushing a class of people down, how can that be productive or right or good? So I want to throw out those questions for discussion as we kind of come to closure on the Ferguson, Missouri issues. We kind of come to closure in the past, but so many things remain loose ends. I want to put this out for discussion. 866-34-TRUTH, and we will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, sometimes I listen to conservative radio. There's a few minutes here and there. And when I do, almost always, President Obama is being bashed and criticized. I've taken very strong issue with our president a number of times. I posted something on our Facebook page today calling for prayer for him, but with a cartoon of how he's being criticized for his indecisiveness with regard to ISIS. I mean, why in the world say we don't have a strategy yet? How does that help anything? Even if you don't have one, to say that publicly, especially when you're being mocked by them and others in the world, produces no good fruit. But the fact is, you could listen to archives of the show and weeks would go by without me mentioning the president's name in any negative way. All that to say that, number one, I do that because this is not conservative talk radio. This is Christian talk radio, and everything I do has a kingdom-based perspective that has conservative morals, but that's because of my biblical viewpoint. And secondly, I have always, for these years now, wanted to be sensitive to my African-American listeners who could perceive criticism of the president to be unfair and who would want to give him more space. Now, I know that doesn't speak for all, but it speaks for some. So I have been even more careful so as not to unnecessarily offend while freely addressing issues. So all I'm saying is for a long period of time, I have done my best to reach out to all listeners from all backgrounds and to do so with sensitivity while addressing issues candidly. And that's what's earned a lot of trust. And that's why I trust you, my listeners, because your input is fair and reasonable as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start with Nancy in Manhattan as we're talking about victim mentality. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear from you.
Today is great to speak to you again. I am old enough to have gone through the civil rights struggle and did do so. I do not know of an African-American man that has not been racially profiled in my family and friends and one of my pastors. I remember being shot at a protest when we knelt down to pray. That was when I was in North Carolina. There have been all kinds of crazy things that have happened as far as that is concerned. But I know one thing that I have said to black people over and over and over again is the only person that will ever bless us is Jesus Christ himself. And unless we walk with him, we will always have problems in this society and any place else we go because we're hated around the world.
Got it. So aside from redemption in Jesus, you don't see a way to overcome the social problems and prejudice?
No, I do not.
The Democrats
are for genocide because they're causing our people to abort our children. Yeah. So that's not helping either.
Got it. Yeah, I 100% right. When you raise that issue, the fact that Democrats are so pro-abortion, and what is it in New York? Isn't it 61%? Of African-American babies conceived or aborted?
I don't know the figures, but I know it's too many.
Yeah, I believe it's that. To support that is to support Black genocide. Hey, Nancy,
right.
Thank you for the call. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Columbia, Maryland. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, just a question. You say your show is fair and accurate. Weren't the Jews one of the biggest perpetuators of slavery?
No, that's a myth.
It's a myth?
That's an ugly myth. Oh, yeah. Louis Farrakhan put that out years ago.
Not based off what Louis Farrakhan said, based off of research from other people, other third parties that have provided valid research on the issue. If you say no, okay, fine.
Hang on. I have a question for you. That so-called research was thoroughly refuted by the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Okay,
thoroughly refuted.
Question.
But Michael, okay. Hang on for a second. What does that have to do with fairness? When have I ever brought up slave trade and said, "Oh, and by the way, Jews were not involved with it"? I'm talking about white Americans.
Whether you ask the question honestly or not would be considered fairness. Okay.
Michael, hang on. I'm trying to have a civil dialogue with you. Okay. Hang on.
You are.
Hang on, sir. All right. You called with an attitude. I'm not responding with an attitude. But
sir,
hang on.
I don't have an attitude. I think you have more of an attitude than I have.
You don't have any attitude, so you'll just listen to me for a second, right? Because
sure.
You don't have an attitude.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Thank you. My apologies for thinking you had an attitude. Sounded like the way you came at me. Your opening question, if I claim to be fair, then what about the Jews? Where did that come from? That has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about. And I've never once done a show that the Jews were uninvolved, that there was not a single Jew involved with slave trade. So your question comes with an accusation out of left field, having nothing to do with the content of the show for 6.5 years. That's why I'm asking what's behind it.
I think you made it an accusation, but that's fine. That's just what you do. But let me ask you this question. Do you think for all the atrocities that were committed during the slave trade, just asking your question, you know, whether you want to answer it or not, is totally up to you. But do you think that the atrocities committed during the slave trade, do you think that the people that committed those atrocities, do you think they should go free or you think they should be held accountable?
Of course they should be held accountable. And
okay,
they were in many ways. We lost a half million.
Yes.
Excuse me?
They were doing the Holocaust too as well. They were held accountable, right? For the atrocities they committed, right? So you deem the same thing to do with the slave trade too as well?
Yeah, you're talking generations back, sure. If whatever we could do to deal with that. In point of fact,
generations back.
All right, tell you what, listen, we got a break coming up. You obviously got an agenda here. But to respond, we had a civil war, and in that war, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Americans were killed. Our nation was ripped to pieces, and there was a severe penalty that was paid for the atrocities of the slave trade. That's the reality, sir. And by the way, are you going to Africa to find the Africans who sold their fellow Africans into slavery, who kidnapped them and sold them into slavery? You're going to Africa now several generations later to try to judge their offspring? By the way, this notion that Jews were heavily involved in the slave trade or leaders in slave trade is bogus. Yeah, Jews were involved because Jews were some white Americans. But the idea that they were leaders in it, bogus. Anyway, can I encourage you to join our team today? We would love to send you a free copy of the Tree of Life version of the Bible. It's a hardcover edition, the first ever joint translation of the Bible by a team of Messianic Jewish scholars and other Christian scholars. It's a $30 value, but it's our thank you gift when you become a torchbearer today. If you put aside $1 a day or more, $30 per month, you'll help us get this radio broadcast out to more and more people. You'll help us expand our outreach to the Jewish people. You'll help us expand and amplify our voice to the nations and the world. And we'll also send you a free new message every month, and give you 15% discount on our online bookstore, free access to our online classes. So we thank you for your partnership. Join us today. Become a torchbearer. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. During the break, just 1 minute break, I did a quick search and found a fascinating document by Dr. Harold Brackman for the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Museum of Tolerance, January, February 2010. And it's called Jews, African Americans, and Israel, The Ties That Bind. If you want to do a search for it, you can put in the last name Brackman, B-R-A-C-K-M-A-N, Jews, African Americans, and Israel, The Ties That Bind. Some fascinating quotes here. Fascinating quotes, even comparing the civil rights movement or what was called a pan-African movement with Zionism. Malcolm X, whom I don't often quote on the air, pan-Africanism will do for the people of African descent all over the world the same that Zionism has done for Jews all over the world, which he said in a positive, not a negative sense. Fascinating. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tori in Maryland. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Oh, thank you so much for having this conversation. I think that on the heels of Ferguson, and not just Ferguson, but so many other challenges that have happened to the African-American community, I'm appreciative that you're even having this conversation. But I think for me, just kind of the way that the questions were asked, are somewhat jaded or colored as well. For instance, first and foremost, there is one race, which is a human race. Mm-hmm. So when you get into talking about a black race, I don't even know what that is, because it's not associated with a landmass, ownership, or legacy or history. So I think that when you get into just a thought process with Americans and the way that African-Americans or Americans of African descent have been handled in this country, there is racism and colorism even in the speech, you know, blacklisting, blackballing, and things of those nature. So that's one thing.
And by the way, wasn't there a famous little tirade by Muhammad Ali about that, you know, that you have, you know, devil's food is like, you know, black cake and angel,
well,
you know.
So many psychological things that have been written. So not even, I wouldn't even reference, you know, there are so many psychologists and other scholars that deal with that colorism in the history, which can't be denied. I mean, it's like you said, any reasonable or logical thinking person should be able to identify those things. Nonetheless, when you talk about victimization, that's also a little offensive, because historically African Americans have been told to basically suck it up with regard mm-hmm. to their history in America. So when you talk about victimization and the mentality of that, I'm sort of offended by that, because primarily, historically speaking, African Americans have always attempted to be civil, live civil, live by the laws of adjudication, and so on and so forth. Now, even when you get into the current studies of how African-Americans are, you know, more likely to be incarcerated for the same crimes that others commit and those sorts of things, I mean, the statistics are there. And so, and in effect that we're, you know, how we were portrayed in all medias, I won't even say television entertainment, but in all medias. And so as the woman, there was a woman who called from New York, and she said that she's old enough to have experienced, and she knows about being shot at. And then even you giving your history and your background and growing up in New York, well, my roots are Southern in that my mom, my maternal family is from South Carolina, my paternal family is from North Carolina. But we have family that kind of spread out throughout America. So I've had the benefit of not just being educated, but also kind of having experience.
Yeah, more of a Southern experience. But even Nancy from Manhattan spoke of these things. Hey, Tari, I wanted to let you get as much in as possible. We got a break, but thank you for the comments. Much appreciated. Stay right there, folks. The conversation will continue.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, this is just so sickening and sad to hear. Black and Hispanic abortions combined, 54,248 babies, New York City, 2012. That's 73% of the total number of abortions. Matt, just get me the stats on Black and Hispanic population of New York, how much of the population that is as a whole. I look at this as satanically inspired genocide on peoples, on individuals, on groups, on ethnicities, on races. And we must do what we can to turn the tide. We're talking about social injustice through history. Talking about not having a victim mentality, how to overcome in light of the very real injustices that have existed. A conversation that's important to have, and despite potential misunderstanding, we will have it because it's the only way we can move forward. Let's go to Boston. Cheryl, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just want to say that I really, really enjoy your show, and I'm so thankful for your attitude of just listening and having a platform for people to voice their different opinions. But at the beginning of the show, you read a synopsis by, I believe, someone that wrote in by the name of Brian. And I
yes, correct.
At one point, I wish I could even get a copy of it or you could read it again. It's right on point. I just wanted to add one thing. You know, they say sticks and stones will break bones, but words don't hurt, but words do hurt. Words are more powerful than money. And I just my opinion, the wording of victim mentality, I think, you know, that's kind of a spin, just my opinion. Another way to dehumanize and desensitize people to another's circumstance or plight, you never hear you know, victim mentality for Holocaust, victim mentality for Serbia, Bosnia, people in the Middle East. You never hear victim mentality for anybody else who's being, you know, that has a circumstance that they want people to, if you can't sympathize, at least empathize with them. But
yeah,
with African Americans, people just want to dehumanize and desensitize others to their plight and their circumstance. And Africans are beloved people. They're good and bad in all people. And I think if you just get people not to feel anything for another person, then nothing will ever change. I appreciate the dialogue, but we have to start feeling something for the people in Ferguson and across the world of color. That's my just opinion.
Yeah. Hey, Cheryl, first, thank you for weighing in with that. And you raise a very important point. I've talked about victim mentality for ages in so many different settings. You know, normally when I'm talking about it, it's just in the broader church world and encouraging individual believers. You know, you're going to be hurt. People are going to come against you. You're going to come out on the short end of the stick. There is going to be injustice.
Oh, that's true.
So I've used it broadly, and then I've used it in this context as well. However, your point is a fair point, and let's just think it through for a second. And then, Cheryl, do you have an email address? Do you use email?
Yes.
Okay. When we're done, I just want you to give your email address to Betsy, and then I'll send you what Brian wrote so you don't have to go searching for it online, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
Sure thing. And for those just tuning in, Brian, one of our listeners, wanted to help me have a perspective of how deep and long the mistreatment of African Americans has been, going back to 1619, according to what he wrote, and that it's only really a full generation that's been beyond the segregation and so on, and so that things do take time. And then in other posts, he's had constructive ideas how to overcome this. But I know that it's right to talk about injustices and to say, hey, look, coming out of the horrors of the Holocaust, I hope you can understand why the Jewish people need a homeland. At the same time, the Jews basically fought their own battles against surrounding the five Arab nations that attacked them in 1948, and through the years have never asked a foreign nation to come into their territory to fight for them. And Jews in America that had many odds against them did not have a victim mentality as much as, okay, we may have come in at the end of the train, but we want to work our way up to the front of the train for our kids and grandkids. So how could we adjust this using phraseology that you would feel is more helpful than harmful?
Well, you raise an important point. The Jews fought their way, and understand that revolution entails disagreement. That does not mean that an African American hates you, but at some point, if someone keeps extending their hand out and the other person responds with making them an enemy of the state, at some point it's going to be self-preservation and there's going to be an ensuing fight of some kind. I'm not saying with guns and wars, but a fight of some kind is going to ensue. So people are not going to stand too much longer for seeing people unarmed, gunned down, and then the people that do this walk away. At some point, there's going to be a revolution of some kind. So the people have to understand a fight is imminent, but what is that fight going to look like? Are we going to listen to each other like you're presenting a platform today, mm-hmm. which would be, more expeditious? Or are we just going to keep ignoring the problem, using language that incites and infuriates and dehumanizes to speed up the revolution and the fight? We got to frame the fight.
In other words,
we got to frame it now.
Right. All right. I very much appreciate that. Would you agree, though, that justice requires a fair trial or fair examination of the facts, and we still don't have all of the details on the shooting of Michael Brown, my namesake? Would
absolutely.
You agree?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And fair looks like this. If you're going to protect the integrity of the person that committed an act, why put out information beforehand about the person that's dead? If you're going to be fair, then save the information about the officers until trial and save the information about the young man until trial. Nothing about what's happening is fair. The information is being dug up and publicly tried for the young man that's dead, that cannot defend himself. But, everything is being done. No stops are being held to protect the person that's alive and can speak for himself and defend himself. And he's being protected. His information is being protected. His picture wasn't even, shown until it was.
Got it.
They were made to show it. So if there's going to be protection and we talk about fair trial, then save all of what you have to say about the young victim, the young man that's dead, until trial as well. That's all I'm saying. If we're going to be fair, let's not act confused about what is fair. It's obvious what's fair, but.
All right, Cheryl. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you weighing in clearly, and I'm glad that you're taking advantage of the ability to have a conversation here. Let's go to Liz in Freehold, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. First, I want to say bless you and your ministry. Every Wednesday, I clean my church, and I listen to you, and I love your program.
Well, thank you. Glad we can keep you company as you're cleaning.
Yes. Now, my comment is about Obama. I didn't vote for him because I felt he wasn't American enough to be president. Mm-hmm. I have my own opinion. But this is something that when I pray about him, that the Holy Spirit tells me. He's not a weak man, because when he wants to fight for something, he has a lot of strength, like his medical program, his health program, when he wanted to be reelected. So he does have a fight in him when he feels it's worth the fight. And as far as strategy, maybe it's a blessing. He does have one, but doesn't want to announce it. Is this possible?
It's possible. The only thing is, what I would understand, I'm not a diplomat, I'm not a politician, I'm obviously not the president, but what I understand is there is a certain statesman-like way that you have to do things, hence the tremendous criticism for the president talking about the beheading of American journalist James Foley, and then going right from there to the golf course. And it wasn't a matter of just clearing his head and strategizing. It was a matter of playing golf and having fun. Obviously, even friends of his have recognized how wrong that was and how unstatesmanlike that was. Well, in the same way, you don't make an announcement that you don't have a strategy yet, because it does make your country and you look weak. Better if you have a strategy and you want it to be secret, to say we are actively formulating plans, and at the right time, those will be revealed, while behind the scenes, you get everything cranked up and ready to go with a surprise attack. Very different. Yes, I believe President Obama is very strong for what he believes in. I wish he believed in different things.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, our dialogue will continue. The whole reason we're having this conversation is to listen to each other and sensitize each other to issues. Sometimes I find that people want me to hear their point of view, which I'm very eager to do, especially if it's from someone with a different perspective. A woman is going to have a different perspective on life than I've had. Someone who was raised outside of America is going to have a different perspective on life than I had. Someone that went through certain tragedies, maybe lost both parents as a kid, is going to have a different perspective than I will. And then in many other ways, a non-believer is going to have a different perspective than a believer. And depending on what part of the country you're raised in, or what ethnicity you come from, or if you're black or white or Asian or Native American, you're going to be different perspectives. So I'm always trying to listen and learn and grow. I just request the same thing if I share a perspective that may be different, that I would also have that same ability to ask you to listen as I seek to listen. Is that fair? Some time ago, I dealt with certain blind spots. And it was after the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman situation. And I thought and I listened and I thought and I listened. And then I finally wrote and addressed it on the air. And I said, from my perspective, white Americans often, here's our blind spot, that often we don't see racism when it is there. And black Americans, this would be the weak spot, the blind spot there, that they would see racism when it isn't there. And I had many say, yeah, that's a fair evaluation. But then I had some black Americans criticize me and say, no, your blind spot is real. What you're saying, our blind spot isn't real. So my question is, okay, where's the blind spot? Because we'll have blind spots. It can be the same thing. I can be missing something as a Jewish believer, and I'm not seeing it. And I'm sure I am seeing it. I'm not seeing it. Then someone presents it another way. It's like, oh, got it. Got it. Now I see it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times it's happened with my precious bride, where Nancy shared something with me and I said, no, honey, I don't agree. I mean, I know you got a serious point there. I just don't see it. And then someone else will come at it from a different angle. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll come back and tell Nancy. She said, that's exactly what I told you. And I thought, you're right. You're right. So let's listen. Trust me, I listen. I reflect on these things long and hard, not just during the show, but months, years after these things are processed into my life. And I learn where I can. I'm just asking you to do the same. Fair enough? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Queens, New York. Angela, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Mr. Brown. The problem is my freedom. It's inside of me. It's not coming from outside. I'm half Armenian, half Russian.
Mm.
So genocide on one side. You know the Armenians.
Yeah, horrific, terrible history.
Yes, only my father and sister survived. And from mother's side, of course, First and Second War and famine and all that. And, okay, this is not, it's about my background. I was born there, and for 44 years I'm here. I lived on both systems. Now the heart has to be changed. It's analyzing myself. I have to analyze myself because eventually I have to live with myself. And now be careful who your friends are, who you are hanging, because friends are a huge influence in your life. It's all about your character, and it's all about you, and you and you. It has nothing to do with anybody, with any system, because God is everywhere. He's the same for everybody, and it's just like that. The problem is us, always.
Got it. I appreciate that, especially given your history. So,
oh, yes, much more, but I don't have to. It's just
I understood. So two key things. Number one, freedom is going to come from the inside and not the outside.
The freedom, I have to be free myself.
Yep.
And I know I have friends, black, that they are free from the inside. And I can't even name people that you know. They are, you know, known. But the whole, it's like, it's all about your heart. And you have to live with, and you have to live with yourself, and to be a blessing to others.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. Just to jump in. Sorry, but just we're coming to the end of the hour here. I want to repeat the other point that you made, Angela, which was your friends. In other words, do the people that you're close with, that you spend time with, do they feed into bitterness in your life? Do they feed into the sense of woe is me? Do they feed into the sense of everybody's against me? Or do they feed into the sense of, it doesn't matter who's against you, nobody can put you in chains on the inside. And if someone's going to curse you, you bless them. And if something presents itself as a stumbling block, you turn that, with God's help, into a stepping stone. Hey, Angela, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. And a good last call to have. Check out this quote. This is from Edmund Wilmot Biden. He's a Pan-African founding father, lived 1832 to 1912. I have the deepest possible interest in the current history of the Jews, especially in that marvelous movement called Zionism. The question in some respects is similar, that which at this moment agitates thousands of descendants of Africa and America. And as to this history of the African race, their enslavement, persecution, proscription, and sufferings closely resembles that of the Jews, I've been led by a fellow feeling to study the great question how uppermost in the minds of thousands, if not millions, of Jews, namely Zionism. Isn't that fascinating? Other quotes like this, if you go to, just search online, Harold Brackman, B-R-A-C-K-M-A-N, Jews, African Americans, and Israel, the ties that bind. Also, if the black population of New York City is roughly 25%, is that accurate? Roughly 25%. The abortion rate being at 61%. Again, I see that as an attack and assault on a people by the devil. And therefore, we must be pro-life in a holistic way and recognize where there is a real attack coming from the enemy. Friends, this is a great time to be praying for us. We are in the midst of a major project that will enable us to, well, I don't want to say much more now, but enable us to get this radio broadcast out in a unique way to touch a whole lot of people. It's a very exciting time. Please pray for us. We've got a lot going on to make this happen in the coming weeks. And if you can support us with a one-time gift of any size or by becoming a monthly supporter, that would just be awesome as we partner together moving into a very important time in our ministry that you can personally be blessed by. So call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Donate. My bottom line today, we agree that great social injustices remain in America. We agree that many things are not fair. We must listen to each other, learn from each other, and have a strategy of overcoming. Well, Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson says, convert them or kill them. And let's talk about overcoming social injustice here in America.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. We're going to talk about some very controversial remarks made by Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. Now, when I say controversial, I don't mean wrong. We'll discuss that, but very controversial and ones that could certainly be taken out of context. But we're going to talk about his comments regarding the Islamic State. I wrote an article last night. I write an article, normally three articles a week, and one of them is published on WND.com, WorldNet Daily. And I was praying last night about which one, what to write on. And to my surprise, I ended up on a different theme and wrote an article called "The Wicked Will Be Destroyed," and how the Islamic State, so-called Islamic State, reminds us of the existence of human wickedness. And in our enlightened Western society, we often don't want to recognize that there is such a thing as wickedness. It's just, well, everybody's a victim, you know. the criminal, that's the man that raped and kidnapped a little girl and killed her, you know, he was abused himself and he should be punished, but he's not wicked. I mean, that's often the way we think. So we're going to talk about these issues today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. You'll be able to weigh in shortly as we talk about the comments by Phil Robertson. I spent the better part of the last hour, though, talking about social injustice, overcoming those issues. And because we had so many calls and such a fruitful discussion, I'm going to leave that there, move on to Phil Robertson, and we may get to one more subject that you'll find very interesting as well before the hour is out. So if you want to hear the comments about social injustice, overcoming that, great insights from my callers, go to AskDrBrown.org later today, and you will be able to listen to that. Joe, I'm going to play some clips from my end, but this is Phil Robertson. He is on Sean Hannity. He's got his Bible with him, and he's going to read from it unashamedly. And I was struck as he did by just reading from Scripture how crazy that could seem to so many. But he's just quoting the word accurately.
If anybody could cut off somebody's head like that and then put children's head on stakes, isn't that evil in our time? And how should we deal with it?
Worldwide, planet-wide. Biblically speaking, two groups of people, the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's 1 John 5:19. Ephesians 2 said, look, the evil one works in those who are disobedient. Galatians 3, they are prisoners of sin. 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says that they've been taken captive by Satan to do his will.
Now, doesn't that sound extreme when you hear that? Doesn't that sound almost fanatical? The whole world lies under the power of the evil one, except for the children of God. But it's scripture. It is scriptural truth. And as he was quoting more verses, I was thinking about, okay, this is where he's going. And it is truth. We just want to be nice and reasonable. Now, by the way, this is not a call to violence against people. What he's quoting is talking about the existence of wickedness, the existence of wicked people. We're going to hear some more quotes from Phil Robertson. Then I want you to tell me if you agree or not. In terms of the Islamic State, ISIS, he said we have to either convert them or kill them. We'll be right back.
Fire we plead. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm not giving up on them, but I'm just saying either convert them or kill them.
All right, that was, in short, a comment from Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. As he's on Sean Hannity and talking about the so-called Islamic State. Now, I find that many times outside of a biblical mentality that speaks of the righteous and the wicked, we don't often like to talk about the wicked in America. That person is wicked. It takes an extreme, extreme, extreme case before we'll say the person is wicked. And then there are always those who say, but look at the person's background and look at how they were underprivileged or look at what they suffered as a child or look at this or look at that and they didn't get a proper education. So what they did was bad, but the person's not wicked. They were basically a good person. That's the way our so-called enlightened societies think. The fact is there are wicked people in the world and the earth, the world is filled with wickedness. That is a fact. That is a reality. It cannot be denied. And we must recognize that, not just with the so-called Islamic State. You say, why do you call it the so-called Islamic State? That is their name. I know, but they are also making a claim beyond their existence, hence my phraseology. But having said that, we must recognize wickedness in our own society and the potential for wickedness in our own hearts and lives outside of God's grace and God's help. Now, Phil Robertson continues. I want to play a little bit more of what he had to say to give you more context, and then we will interact. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, on Sean Hannity, and this is what he had to say.
Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth, if not the wisest. He's speaking of wisdom. Whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life. Watch. And receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me, this is the God of the Bible, harms himself. Now listen to this. On this ISIS thing, all who hate me love death. So you scratch your head and you say, well, why is it that when we're not even over there in the Middle East, why do they continue to slaughter each other when we're not even on the premises? They can't blame us. We left Iraq. You say, what happened in Egypt, in Syria? You say, in Libya. They just slaughter each other. You say, what? All who hate me love death.
Uh-huh. So this love of death, what has to be a bloodlust as well. Nancy and I were talking about it. Just how could a human being do that to another human being? One thing, someone breaks into your house and is about to kill your family and you take out a gun and shoot them. It's one thing when an enemy invades your territory wanting to kill and destroy and the army takes that group out. It's another thing when you carry out cold-blooded murder of an innocent, unarmed victim. Now, I did drugs before I was saved. I did other things that were wrong, but I did not engage in all types of violence. Even though I was tall, I was real thin back then, especially because of the drug use, but I was not a fighter. I didn't grow up in a fighting kind of environment. So even the rush of violence, if there is such a rush, I assume there is, I don't understand that. But there must be some type of demonic experience that comes with this murder. There must be something in the insanity and the hardness of heart of these people and the wickedness that there's actually some thrill in doing what they do and some real type of bloodlust. How can we even think of it, relate to it? But what Phil Robertson says here, quoting from Proverbs 8 about wisdom, is the voice of God speaking. All those who hate me love death. It is a profound observation. Let's listen some more.
I think they're at war with us.
Yep.
Whether we like it or not, I think most people would rather live in peace. Most yep. Americans are, just leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. They're not going to leave us alone. They're not going to leave Israel alone. So that leaves us with two options. Do nothing and then get ready for the next attack. And then we'll have a report that says they were at war with us. We weren't at war with them.
In this case, you either have to convert them, which I think is would be next to impossible. I'm not giving up on them, but I'm just saying either convert them or kill them. One or the other.
All right. Now, that statement could be likened to what ISIS is doing, say, in Iraq, kidnapping or capturing the Yazidi people and saying you convert to Islam or you die. We're doing the same with Christians. You convert to Islam or die. Is Phil Robertson doing the same thing? Now, I would say it's actually something very different, but it could be compared if wrongly understood. All right, we'll just listen a little bit more, and then I want to get your take on this. 866-34-TRUTH.
I think they are at war with us.
All right, just
whether we like it or not.
Just played that. My bad there. Let's go to clip number 25.
So I know there are going to be people that are always looking to jump on you and say, convert them or kill them. And they're going to say, there goes Phil Robertson again. No, I know the media. I know how they act.
I'd much rather have a Bible study with all of them and show them the error of their ways and point them to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of having your sins removed and being raised from the dead. I would rather preach the gospel of Jesus to them. However, if it's a gunfight and a gunfight alone, if that's what they're looking for, me personally, I am prepared for either one.
Ah, all right. So he's making it clear he would like to lead them to the Lord, but if they don't turn to the Lord and repent of their demonic violence and it's a gunfight, then you kill them. Last clip.
Why do you think so many people view you as controversial? Because coming from a religious point of view.
When Jesus came to the earth, Sean, he said they hated me, and it was predicted from the prophets, they hated me without reason. And then he told all of us, like they hated me, they will hate you also. They will hate you, he said, when that comes, and when they exclude you, when they insult you, and when they reject your name as evil because of me. Jesus said, listen, rejoice, be happy, because great is your reward in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% Bible. The question is Phil Robertson being hated or rejected for following Jesus, or is he being hated and rejected because of his Louisiana culture or his political statements? That would be the debate. But you can't get more straight Bible than he just did there with that last perspective. What do you think? What do you think of his comments? We have to convert them or kill them. Let's go to Queens, New York. Angela, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Okay. What is God's will in all that? That is the question. God's will. We have always to ask ourselves. What is? And forgiveness has to be there, because that's how healing starts. Forgiveness is not easy. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so Angela, I've never done this before. I had someone that was on the first hour come back on the second hour, at least to my at least to my memory.
I'm sorry.
But you're that's okay. I brought you on. Your ancestors, were slaughtered in Armenia.
Yeah, and in Russia, because they are brothers that they fought each other. One it was with German, the other with Romanians, with Russians. Anyway, they fought just like that in the same family, two brothers, each other. They fought, but this is too long. We're not gonna go into this historical or my background.
Right, but what you're saying though, when you talk about the importance of forgiveness, when you talk about the importance in the last hour of finding freedom from the inside out, the that is one thing in terms of how we respond to tragedy. It's one thing in terms of how we respond to ugly things that are done to us. That being said, whatever could be done to have stopped genocide from taking place in Armenia, whatever could have been done to stop the slaughter of innocent people, that should be done. In other words, you don't just say, well, we forgive you and go ahead and slaughter us. If there's a way to stop injustice, we stop it. Hey, thank you for the comments.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We are talking about Phil Robertson's comments regarding so-called Islamic State, ISIS. We have to either convert them or kill them, and his context is simple. If there's a way to lead them to Jesus and turn them away from their murderous ways, we should do that. But if not, if it's a gunfight, we have to kill them. And what he's basically saying is what many other leaders are saying, namely that you don't negotiate with them. Dr. Penn Carson said it. In fact, I quoted him. Let me find the exact quote. It's very simple, but I want to make sure I get it exactly right. Dr. Ben Carson said regarding ISIS, you don't negotiate with people whose goal is to eliminate you. What do? He says, you eliminate them. So that's what Phil Robertson is basically saying, except he added in, try to convert them. But let's get your thoughts on that. We'll start with Chuck in Louisville, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I believe that we should listen to Phil Robertson and people like him who have this mentality, but they use the Bible to prove that we're going to be hated. John 15:18. Matthew 6:22-23. On and on. I've seen it personally when I lived in Spain, and I saw the LaGuardia of the dictator there slaughter just indiscriminately the gypsies for no reason, just because they were different, just because they were hated by them. And it's evil. I've seen evil ever since I've been a Christian, since 71. It's out there, and it's here now in a bigger way with this ISIL group. And I don't care if I'm unpopular with Muslims. They've got to convert or die, because they're slaughtering my God's people, the Jews. And they're coming after me, too. And if they get a chance, they're not going to listen to me hold my Bible and quote Scripture, or even Scripture from my heart. They're just going to shoot me or blow me up in a mall somewhere. And it's coming soon.
And we've got it. Yep, Chuck, loud and clear. I hear you. In terms of real wickedness, real evil, of course you stop it when you can. Thank you. Listen, is this any different? Is this any different than let's say you heard that some gang of enraged, drug-crazed Hell's Angels had just shot down three police officers and was heading into your neighborhood, and they were just going to go on a murderous rampage through your neighborhood. And you had an army base next to that neighborhood, and the army base heard about it, and they told the Hell's Angels, stop. And when they didn't stop and the Hell's Angels pulled weapons, they took them out. Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? And if we can help empower nations, groups like the Kurds fighting against Islamic State, if we can help arm them to stop them from their murderous ways, isn't that a right thing to do? what if Phil Robertson had said, we lead them to repentance or we declare war on them? That might have sounded less controversial than convert them or kill them, but that's basically what he was saying. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Ryan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. And I'm calling about the whole topic, and I think we need to handle this like the Maccabees did in the Old Testament. And this is clearly what's heading in the direction that the Muslims want to take it. Their whole way is embedded in their brain and in their soul to do what they're doing. And we can't go handle this like the New Testament and be conservative and peace. We just need to like, be the Maccabees and just plow the way for Israel and America and for peace. And then we can go on to be like the New Testament because we have conquered or gotten control of the situation of the Muslims. And that's how I truly feel about it.
Got it. Loud and clear, Ryan. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Roger in Huntington, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I watched the clip on the internet of Phil Robertson talking to Sean Hannity.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
And, yes, I watched the clip of Robertson talking to Sean Hannity on the internet, and he starts off the conversation saying that he doesn't leave the house without his Bible or his woman. And immediately it occurred to me this guy is completely of the flesh, okay? You don't win this, you know, spiritual warfare is won in the spirit, not in the flesh. So if you have an individual claiming he's a Christian and carrying himself in the flesh, he's actually somebody who's going to bring about a victory for the devil, because you don't win a spiritual warfare in the flesh. This guy wants to appear on national TV as a Christian, as a macho man.
But that's his culture, though. He's devoted to his wife. They're very happily married. That's his culture.
Yeah, well,
that's who he is.
Dr. Brent, that statement at the beginning is not a... I didn't sense the Holy Spirit in his voice at all when he says he doesn't leave the house without his Bible or his woman.
Uh-huh.
What I see is a guy, this is probably going to be brought up in the next election cycle for president, that this is a so-called Christian. These are the type of people you want to put in office. These Christians that are towed around a Bible, a gun, and talking about their Bible and their woman. I mean, the guy is completely of the flesh. He's not of the spirit.
Are you saying he's not a Christian?
I don't think he's doing anything to help the cause of God's kingdom on earth. None whatsoever. I think he's bringing...
Now, Roger, hang on. I'm a fellow New Yorker, but are you aware that your approach is turning a lot of listeners off right now, and they're saying this guy Roger is in the flesh?
Well, listen, you got a man there.
I'm asking an honest question. In other words, I'm a New Yorker. Hang on, Roger. Roger. How can you talk about Phil Robertson being in the flesh and then not let me get a word in, sir? Okay? Tell you what, I want to continue this conversation. We've got a bunch of callers, and we'll get to these other calls shortly. But Roger, I want to continue this conversation, so stay right there, all right? Friends, may I encourage you to visit our website. We've got a really excellent, helpful resource offer, always specially discounted as we try to be a blessing to you with these offers. Go to AskDrBrown.org. That's AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll be able to get one of the most practical, important books that I've written. And along with that, a free download of an entire $20 teaching series with it. So just go to AskDrBrown.org right on the homepage. And while there, if you're prompted to help us, to stand with us with a gift, with a donation, to help with the work we're doing on radio and among the Jewish people in America and around the world, AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Donate. We will be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Just having a discussion of recent comments by Phil Robertson on Sean Hannity. Roger, just continuing the discussion with you, here's my issue. I would not do things the same way Phil Robertson did in terms of saying he doesn't lead the house without his Bible or his woman, because I know how that could be understood. But what I'm sensitive to, having lived outside of New York for a long time, is how the way that you just came on the air as a New Yorker, how offensive that can seem to many, but that's just part of your culture. And you may, so to many, you sounded like you were in the flesh. To you, Phil Robertson sounded like he was in the flesh, but I would not make some judgment on you that you're not in the spirit, that you're not a Christian, that you're just doing harm. That,
okay.
I would have approached
Brown,
you differently. Go ahead.
I watched the clip of the interview, okay? Sean Hannity is 100 times the Christian that Phil Robertson is, and he's not toting around a Bible, okay?
How do you know that?
Sean Hannity wrote a book called Deliver Us From Evil. That will have much greater impact in defeating evil in the world than anything that Phil Robertson has been blabbering over the last couple of years.
Do you know how many people think that Sean Hannity is... Roger. The more you talk, you're going to make yourself an embarrassment for Jesus. Please hear me. I am not a Duck Dynasty guy, all right? It's a very different culture than my culture. I don't watch the show, all right? But for you to say that Sean Hannity, who I think is Catholic perhaps, is not a devout Catholic either, is 1,000 times the Christian, 100 times whatever, as Phil Robertson is, that is a massively fleshly judgment that you just made,
listen,
sir.
Sean Hannity is walking in meekness before the Lord. He's a humble brother. He was very good friends with Jerry Falwell.
Meekness? Sean Hannity
walks in meekness. He is a very, very powerful brother in Jesus Christ, and he's not toting around a Bible. He's doing more to oppose evil and darkness in the land, and he's doing it.
And
in
Phil
a way
Robertson
that
is not a Christian and is an embarrassment to
Phil
Jesus Christ.
I don't see any attributes in his character to the meekness and mildness of Jesus Christ.
Do you find them in your own character? Roger, do you find them in your own? All right, I guess we're done. I tried. I did try. I think I got to give you credit. I did try. When I can't even get a word in to ask someone if they have meekness in their own character, not the best sign. Okay. 866-34-TRUTH. We got time. Let's go to Brian in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, my thoughts are this. I think in regards to his statement, when he says, you know, if it's a gunfight, bring a gunfight, I think you have to have a proper context if you're going to say that and if you're going to back it up as a Bible-believing Christian. Because it's one thing to say, I'm going to defend myself against anything and nothing's going to take me out. But I think it's a whole different context. The reason I say is if, as a father, one of the things I've always tried to at least hold loosely is this idea in Romans 13. It talks about that the government does not bear a sword in vain. Now, I'm not an army. I'm not a government official. But within my home, I am the government within my home, and I have a responsibility to protect my children. And so, you know, if it came down to that, then I think I have a biblical reason to defend my family from an attacker. In other words, if they encroach upon the boundaries, if you will, that I've set around my home as a government, if you will. But from a standpoint of if it's me by myself and they're coming at me, I think you have a real hard time scripturally supporting this idea that I'm going to kill them if they don't convert. And I think it's the way it's phrased,
obviously. And Brian, I agree with you. Again, Phil Robertson is Phil Robertson, and he has this massive platform, and he has been loud and clear about his faith, quoting scripture, reading the Bible in an unashamed way. But yeah, there's a context to present things in. I agree.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We're interacting with Phil Robertson's comments. I'm looking at all the calls here. His comments on Sean Hannity, 866-34-TRUTH. Stephanie in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I'm calling. I just wanted to reiterate that I think it's very important to distinct between Muslims and radical Muslims that want to kill people. Because I have several Muslim, I'm Christian, but I have several Muslim friends. And you know, it seems like when they're talking to me, they always refer to how everybody grouped them with the radicals. Yep. And also, I do agree with what you were saying to that previous caller. I think he was completely out of line for making such a judgmental comment about someone that he doesn't know personally about him being in the flesh.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Stephanie, it's one thing to say, boy, I think that was counterproductive, or I never would have said that, or I think it prejudices people against you. Yeah, I agree. But to then say what he said, and Phil Roberts is completely the flesh and no evidence of the spirit, he's an embarrassment to Jesus. Yikes. Stephanie, the thing about radical Muslims versus moderate Muslims, the debate is, are the moderate Muslims really Muslims anymore than a nominal Christian who, say, goes to church a couple times a year and doesn't even believe the Bible or Jesus rose from the dead? Is that person a real Christian? Obviously, no. So that's the debate. But some people have criticized me for saying radical Islam because they say, no, all Islam is radical. Well, let's just say the vast majority or the great majority of Muslims worldwide are absolutely appalled by what ISIS does, and they would be killed by ISIS as well. So regardless of who the true Muslims are, the fact is there is a difference between most of the Islam we run into in America and overseas and radical Islam. But radical Islam is several hundred million people. Hey, Stephanie, thank you so much for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay in North Carolina. Eric and Carrie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for your program. I don't know too much about Phil Robertson. I don't really watch TV, but there's a great deception in this whole news story about ISIS. It is as same as Al-Qaeda, a product of the CIA and the United States foreign policy apparatus, the covert operations. If you know what happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, you understand that he was overthrown, and the whole thing about Benghazi was so they could ship arms to Syria to overthrow Assad and get rid of an ally to Iran. People that want to do more research than just the morning TV shows can find out these things are factual.
Yeah, and, you know, things get, I'm not going to interact with each specific point there as much as to say that we often wade into a battle without adequate foresight. We've done it a number of times in America. And in other words, okay, let's say person A, person B, or group A, group B. Group A is really bad for America. Group B is not so bad. So we empower Group B to fight against Group A, not realizing that Group B is going to end up really bad against America. We've done that. We have not often had sufficient foresight in terms of who we are working with and what the long-term implications are going to be. So I do respect the fact that it's very difficult to sort out a proper strategy in Syria. Because you're dealing with all kinds of evil and bad guys there. But the question is, can we just sit back and do nothing? So, Eric, just take one more moment. How does this play out in terms of decisions we have to make today in terms of dealing with Islamic State, Syria, Iraq? How do your comments play into that?
If I'm still on the air.
Yes, you are.
The idea that these groups are created and supported for American foreign policy and then they get out of hand is another deception. The fact that they're publishing these videos so easily and graphically about the beheading is intentional. They're trying to get us riled up so we will go to war, and they have very clear intentions. There's no accident here. Anytime they make a mistake, they completely erase the whole mess, and nobody ever finds out about it. If it's called a mistake or something that got out of hand, that is an additional deception.
Got it. All right, Eric, I appreciate it. Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rebecca in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say something to our brother in Christ, Roger there. Roger, it is okay. But, you know, remember, God made everybody with a unique personality. He made everybody's DNA. Everybody is a little bit different, and there are going to be some characters in heaven. And I cannot wait to meet every single one of them. But we can't judge each other and hope to unite to defeat the evil in this world that's rising steadily every day. It's a very serious threat. So don't focus that judgment and that anger, at a fellow brother in Christ.
That's God's job. Yeah, the other thing is there are things we are called to judge. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us we're to judge certain things within the body. Absolutely. But at the same time, the idea that, I'm just going to discern, well, Rebecca, I just discerned that you were in the flesh. And then you say, well, Dr. Brown, I discerned that your discernment was in the flesh. It's like, where does that get us? So wherever we can recognize cultural differences, we recognize them. I'll give you a quick example of cultural differences and try to get right back to your phone calls. One of my friends, a white Italian pastor on Long Island, was at a meeting with other pastors and leaders, multi-ethnic, and they were talking about their different approaches and backgrounds. And for the white leaders, their bottom line was, what's the bottom line? Just get to the bottom line. We don't want all the talk, and what's the bottom line? The black leaders, the great value was honor. Honor. The Hispanic leaders, it was, let's have a party. It was, let's have a meal and have some great time together. And they were all laughing because of their different cultural values. So here, this past Sunday, I spoke in an all-black church, basically all-black church, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Just a wonderful congregation, loves the Lord and standing for righteousness. And I was honored more times in that congregation in a single service. When I walked in, I was honored one or two times during the service, before I spoke, after I spoke, I was honored. And I was honored more in that one service than speaking in some white churches I'd be honored in the course of a month. And it's a wonderful thing to be so honored. And I expressed my honor to the leaders there and the privilege of being there. But all that to say, it's if I did my normal thing, I don't even say anything. I just get up and preach. I don't acknowledge this one, acknowledge that one. But if I did that in that setting, that would have been rude and insensitive because of a different church culture. You follow me? So the church cultures and our life cultures can be so different. We don't damn each other to hell over that. Michael in Fort Worth, Texas, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Michael.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, first-time caller.
I just wanted
to say that you're a blessing, and that listening to Phil, I watched him on Sean Hannity last night, and I found it a blessing and refreshing to hear him quote the scripture like that. But I just wanted to talk about what Roger had said. I don't know if anybody had mentioned it or if I heard this way of looking at it is that sometimes when you go out in public and you're such a public figure like that, is that if you're seen alone and you might be with a woman or something that other than your wife, people might look at you a little bit different and think that maybe something's going on. I kind of looked at it as he just wants to make sure that he's safe and that nothing's going to happen with him, you know, trusting himself, I guess, and just being faithful to his wife.
Got it. Yeah, Michael, I appreciate the call. Thank you for the kind words about the broadcast. And it looks like we have a little different perspective than our New York friend Roger. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed and delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to T in Sarasota, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
I missed you on the radio, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, well, we had to cut back on about 10 stations in different parts of the country a few months back. But God willing, as support in those areas increases, we'll be back on the air. But thanks for calling.
Oh, you're so very welcome. I haven't spoken to you in several months, but I want to, you know, just say a few things, if I could. First of all, to the conspiracy theorist about the CIA getting inventing ISIL or ISIS, as different people call it, the military designation is ISIL. The CIA didn't invent ISIL. They are an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. I mean, even to get into this conspiracy stuff, and this is, there's a guy on the radio that pushes all this stuff. His name is Alex Jones. I'm sure you've heard him. You do get callers that are seminar callers of his. The basic facts are, is that ISIL is a super dangerous threat to the United States of America, to England, to Israel, and they are evil. And what Phil Robertson said on Hannity's show last night was a breath of fresh air, because I heard a man for a change. Instead of a wussified male, because in this country we can't talk about being angry, we can't talk about possibly using the sword against the sword, we have to be effeminized. And that's what's killing this country, is that men no longer act like men. And last night you heard a man, a Christian man, not of the flesh, but are the same type of Christians that won World War I and World War II, that won the Civil War so that slavery was abolished. They didn't do it by handing flowers out to the enemy. They did it by defeating the enemy and using the same weaponry that the evil ones used. And all I'll say to you is about Phil Robertson, when he said bring a gun to a gunfight, he was talking about ISIL. And he was talking about...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's talking about what ISIL is doing. I mean, they are saying right out, look, guys, we just got another Christian. We're going to cut his head off on TV. We're going to broadcast it all over the world. We are expectorating in your face. Now, you can let us expectorate in your face over and over again, but I think after a period of time, the people of America are going to need to worry about the women, the children, the structure of freedom, the structure of freedom in Israel, the structure of freedom in England, because whether we like it or not, and I know we've been conditioned not to fight, I know we've been, you know, effeminized, but the fact of the matter is there is evil out there. We need to man up. We need to be brave. We need to believe that Christ is still with us, and we need to fight this fight. I mean, it's going to come to a point. And, Doctor, I don't mean to take up your time, but your show is awesome. We need your leadership in these matters. You're a blessing, and I just thank you for at least being on the internet, and, you know, just God bless you.
Oh, yeah, and listen, we're on radio all over America. We just had to cut back on a number of stations, but thank you for the call. See, on the one hand, we are meek and gracious and servants and humble. On the other hand, we're warriors, and we must, I'm not talking about all of us going to physical battle, but we must have the attitude of warriors, and there is a manly courage that we must take hold of. And the two go hand in hand, characterized in Jesus himself. Thank you, sir, for the call and the kind words. Heather in Philadelphia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned at some of the tone that I hear. Like, you know, it's not really a matter for me about whether or not there's a real place for military intervention with ISIS or not, but it's more how do Christians come across when they're talking about these things. There was a caller just a few calls back that was saying, you know, these people are killing Jews and we need to kill them. And as far as I know, ISIS hasn't killed any Jews yet.
Your point's very important. I want to get back to it. But the man that was just executed, murdered, Stephen Sotloff, his mother, he's actually became an Israeli citizen. He is Jewish. Okay. He loved the Muslim world. He is Jewish. His grandparents on his mother's side are Holocaust survivors.
Okay.
But just to make that correction, but yeah, the larger point, go ahead, it's important.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they were after reporters and happened to get a Jewish reporter then.
But bear in mind, they are Jew haters.
Right.
They are 100% Jew haters.
They will murder, but at
the top of the list of those they hate, just trust me, because they're radical Muslims, at the top of their list of those that they want to kill and destroy, it's Jews living in Israel. Without question, if you gave them a list, that would be their number one target, even more than Shiite Muslims, even more than Christians. But there can be a tone, I understand, that can stir up a certain anger that is not wholesome.
These people, ISIS, have, like, you know, a party spirit. I mean, they want to kill anyone that's not like them. They want to kill people that they think are the most, you know, worst people compared to what they are. And I just don't want to see Christians have that sort of party spirit. You know, we're called to love all men. And so I think standing up for the oppressed is one thing, and, you know, wanting to take the side of victims is one thing. But getting upset at ISIS because they're targeting our favorite group of people is kind of like what they're doing in reverse. You know, like they...
Yeah, I understand. And here's the fine line. I mean, we would not intentionally slaughter innocent and unarmed men, women, and children, which they will gladly do. And we're simply saying there needs to be a military response. You can love people. You know, you love the Nazis and pray for them, but you hate the evil that they're doing. And military intervention saves millions of lives. So I absolutely believe that we need to engage in military intervention against them. But it's always with a certain pain because these are fellow human beings for whom Jesus died that could be saved.
I think the military is called to do military intervention, but the church is the only group of people on the whole earth that can actually change hearts through prayer and through evangelism.
Oh, yeah, well, we do both, but I believe that Christians...
our foremost concern as believers should be what we're uniquely called to do as believers and leave the military action to military people.
Just to jump in, though, because I'm out of time, a conversation will continue. Christians can be fully involved in the military fighting for righteousness. See, there is no question that fighting against injustice is a godly thing to do. There's no question that, look, should Christians be policemen? You may have to kill someone who's committing a crime, a violent crime, and they won't stop. You may have to take their lives, but that is a righteous thing to do. So I believe that godly people can righteously seek to destroy ISIS at the same time that we pray for their salvation and pray for God's intervention. It's a conversation we need to continue, but thank you for the call. Friends, we are out of time. I encourage you to visit my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article to catch up. In fact, tonight I'm going to have an article on God will destroy the wicked one day. The wicked will be destroyed. So check that out after 8 o'clock or so tonight. And check out the latest videos. We've got a couple new videos we posted. And if you can stand with us and help us, that donate button is never far away. My bottom line today, it is right and righteous to hate evil. It is right and righteous to stand for justice while praying for the souls of those who are lost.